As indicated this morning, we're back in Mark 4 tonight. This morning, our message was, "Let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we addressed a number of things about hearing out of Mark chapter 4. We went through the parable of the sower and the seed, and how important it was that Jesus pointed out that we're supposed to hear the word, the seed that was sown, and then we're supposed to apply it to our lives and do something with it. So that was a key point this morning. And then he followed it up with a short parable about not hiding our light under a bushel. So we're supposed to bring the light, the seed, again, the word of God that we're given, and we're supposed to proclaim it and continue to spread that seed wherever we go. But ultimately, we're supposed to be obedient to the word that we're given. So the next section of Mark chapter 4, we're kind of jumping into that, he just gives a couple verses to cover a lot of things. So he covered them very briefly, and so are we, in order to get to the end. But it's all in the same context, and so I think it all fits together very well, but he's still teaching us about hearing. And he's leading his disciples and us up to a point where we don't just hear knowledge. We're not just hearing to grow in our understanding, but we're hearing so that when life's storms come, we're listening to the right voice and we're responding to them properly. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, once again, we just commit the time to you. Lord, this is your word. You taught it to your disciples. You've preserved it throughout the ages for us. And Lord, you've given it to us tonight. And Lord, now we're in Mark 4, and we're just asking you to open up our spiritual ears that we can hear, and Lord, give us understanding, and then show us a practical application, Lord, that we can walk away with tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're picking this up in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And let me just read a few verses here. We'll just kind of read them in sections so we don't get too far ahead of ourselves. So let me pick it up there in 24. 23 was kind of the closure this morning. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." So you can get slightly tongue-tied a little bit there, but it does make sense when you put it in the context of hearing. So let's just take it apart briefly. He starts us off with a caution. He says, take heed what you hear. We're not just supposed to listen to everything. Matter of fact, the world is full of stuff we really have no business listening to. So let's take heed what we hear. He wanted us to be listening to the words that he was saying. Nothing has changed from that perspective. We need to continue to listen what God has to say. Reading the Bible, hearing the Bible preached and taught, we need to stick with the Word and spend a lot of time there. So take heed what you hear. Remember in 2 Corinthians 5, let me just read a couple verses there. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." We don't belong to ourselves. We are not our own rulers. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should be doing what he wants us to do. Take heed what you hear. Listen to his voice more than any other voice in the world. And when we do, then it'll make it so much easier to make decisions in hard times. When the storms come, we'll be listening for his voice, not listening to the wrong voices. So that's his caution. Take heed what you hear. And then he gave an exhortation. He says, with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you. Well, there was other passages that are very similarly written, and they seem to be he was using money as a context, But here, this is clearly, he's talking about the word of God, the seed that was sown. So it says, you want to hear from God. You want to know what the Lord wants from your life. You want to have direction in the midst of the storms of life. There appears to be a connection of what we hear and how we handle what we've already heard. We must remember that God is all wise. You agree? He is all wisdom. He is wisdom. He does not cast his pearls before swine, and he does not entrust precious treasures to those who have been unfaithful with what they already have. We often think of that in terms of physical possessions, money, things of that nature, but this is the context of the word. So I think the takeaway here is that why should an all-wise God entrust me or you with great insight and wisdom if he knows that I or you will either do nothing with it, meaning we're not going to share it or apply it to our lives, or we're going to misuse it. We're going to twist it or teach it improperly. That's not the way our God operates. He's not obligated to give us understanding of everything in the Bible. I really don't believe he is. There are deep treasures. He talks about searching for it diligently. He promises that he'll give it when we search for it with the right heart. And so I think that this exhortation is, with what measure you met, it should be measured to you again. How we use, how we receive, how we hear the word that we do hear and what we do with it, how we apply it, makes all the difference in how much more understanding and wisdom he'll give us. So we want to know the Bible, then study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right? So then he moves to a blessing. And the blessing says, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So that's exciting. He's promising us that if we're going to listen with our hearts and we're going to apply what we learn, we're going to share it as we're supposed to do, he's going to give us more. That's exciting to me. So it encourages me to heed his caution, listen to his exhortation, and look for that blessing that he's going to give me more. But even as we said this morning, in verse 25, the promised blessing is repeated here again. It says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that he hath. All right? So now, the reverse is also true. If we don't treat his word properly, if we're not using what he's given us properly, if we're not applying it to our lives, we essentially lose it. Lose it. Lose it how? I think we will lack wisdom. We're going to lack understanding. We're not going to remember these precious words from the Bible. And we're going to go, now what does that mean? I heard someone talk about that once. But because we're refusing to apply it, he's not going to give us wisdom. Now, I don't know the details of exactly how he plays that out in everyone's life. It may look a little bit different. But he says right here, you know, that if we're not going to apply his word properly and use it properly, then we're going to lose it. So let's be faithful. And then he jumps to the next section real quick. That's all he gives us there. So then the next section starts in 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. My takeaway from that short section is, he has the right to the harvest. He has the right to reap the harvest. It's his harvest. So he has that right. The Lord's prepared the soil. He's planted, watered, and caused the increase. So then the Lord of the harvest deserves to reap what is his. The laborers receive rewards. We learn about that in other passages, but they must work faithfully. But it's his harvest. Perhaps Paul reflected on these words of Jesus when he penned the words, 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So Paul understood the principle here. Paul was only a messenger. Apollos was only a messenger. It was just their job to sow the seed, water the seed as God allowed him to do, but God had to give the increase. It's his harvest. We do see that once again, we have that responsibility of sowing. And God continuously shows us this intriguing balance between our responsibility and God's responsibility. God's responsibility was to give us the word. He's done that. He has been very, very faithful. Man, wicked man, Satan leading them, has tried to destroy this over and over again. Many places, you know, you've heard all the stories. You may personally know a lot of things. Bibles are taken away. They're burned. People aren't allowed to have them. It's illegal. And yet, around the world, the Bible still exists, and we have it in the perfect version that we have. So God is faithful. He has done His part. So now we have to do our part and our responsibility to sow it and then pray that God would use it in the manner in which He wants to use it. So for me, I find it very freeing to know that God has reserved the harder part for Himself. I don't know about you, but could I have ever come up with this? Of course not. There's no way. But God did, and He kept it for us. So that's very freeing. So now I just want to be faithful to do my part. Well, as we keep moving, in verse 30, he says, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." So now Jesus inserts this short lesson on the kingdom and gives another place that he gives many little short segments like this of what the kingdom of God is like. In this case, he compares it to a mustard seed that grows and becomes great. So we learn a little bit about the kingdom of God. But in context of this learning to hear, we see that God knows our capacity. He knows how much we can handle and when we can handle it. He said, as they were able to hear it. He's also willing to expound it to those who are willing to listen. Remember, we talked about this morning. He spread the seed far and wide. The multitudes came and listened. And he shared it with all. He shared his doctrine day after day after day to the multitudes. But then some came away with him and wanted to understand, "Lord, what did that mean when you said?" And he explained it to them. Now sometimes he chided them a bit because they should have understood more. But he still explained it to them. And so it's like, "Yes, Lord, I'm probably not listening very well. Could you help me out, please? Can you show me again? Can you show me how to do that?" So he expounded all things as they were willing to listen. It takes time to listen and to learn. You know, hard things in life don't just come instantly. You know, you each have your strengths and weaknesses. You know, some people love math. I personally love math. I enjoyed it through school. There's some people, I happen to know some sitting here, that really don't enjoy math very much. Why are you shaking your head, Noel? So it takes more time. It takes energy to learn some things. Well, the scripture's the same way. Some things we read and we go, "Got it, makes sense. It's perfectly clear." Then other things we go, "I don't get it. I just don't understand." It takes time. We have to listen. But he's willing to expound when we're willing to listen. I'm wondering if sometimes, if God doesn't give us time on our hands, if you will, of waiting, so that we'll learn to listen. I know none of us enjoy waiting. I'll say none of us. I think I'm pretty safe in that. It's common. We don't enjoy waiting. We're in a hurry. We're always in a hurry. Or even when we're not in a hurry, we don't like waiting. You know, it's one thing to be doing my own thing, but to have to wait on others, you know, that's not very enjoyable. But I think perhaps that God gives us waiting time. It could be that waiting on the phone or waiting in line, some line, anywhere, there's lines. They were showing us a line, Dana, when they went to Taiwan. They come out of the airport and they have to wait for a taxi. And they walk out the door and they see a line and the line and the line. And they were in the line for half hour. It was just this long line of people with their luggage waiting on taxis. Just have to wait. And then sometimes we have to wait for test results to come back for something. And we've had tests taken. Those can be very anxious times of waiting. Sometimes we're waiting for a loved one to turn back to the Lord or turn to the Lord. Those are hard times to wait. Sometimes we wait to grow up. It's like, oh, am I ever going to get to grow up? Am I ever going to be 12? Am I ever going to be 16? Am I ever going to make 21? You know, we're waiting. And then sometimes we're waiting to pass into heaven. Life moves quick. Those stages of life click through pretty swiftly. Life is full of waiting. I'm wondering if sometimes those waiting periods, we're supposed to be using that time to listen. To listen to our Father, who is more willing to expound these great truths to us. And it may be the simple things like, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I mean, what a powerful, powerful truth that is. Our Father teaches it to us over and over, and yet we still can find ourselves in these waiting moments, these anxious moments, and we think He left. That songwriter, Mary Baker, if you go back and read verse 2, she's essentially going, please don't leave me anymore. It's like, I never went anywhere. You know, that's God. He's like, God never went anywhere. We're the ones that go away from Him. So He won't leave us. The simple truths like that, He may be trying to teach us that. Maybe it's time for the seed to grow. Seeds take time. You know, this one passage here says the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. He just keeps going to bed and sleeping, and someday all of a sudden he starts seeing it sprout up. And I know science tells us exactly how it all happens nowadays, but let's face it, they can't make it happen. God's the one that does it. And even still, how come some of them grow and some of them don't? You know, God's the one who makes that happen. Sometimes we just need time for a seed to grow. Well, what does a farmer do in the winter? A wise farmer, if farming is his life, then a wise farmer is going to be repairing his equipment. He's going to be gathering his seed, taking care of the seed, getting things ready, preparing, planning, because when the springtime comes, you got to move. You got to work. You know, when it stops raining, you got to get out there, get the fields ready and go. You know, there's no more time to be sitting around the fire. You got to move quickly. Well, I think there's times in our life that are just like that, which is why there's so many farmer examples for us in the scriptures. We need to be preparing for the harvest. You know, we just said we want to get Sunday school started again. You know, it's been here in just a couple of weeks. It's been a full year, a whole year. You know, so somebody needs to start getting some Sunday school lessons together, right? We need to check out the bus. And some of us already talked about that. You know, there's some things we need to do to make sure it's good to go. You know, there's a cable out there right now, you know, getting batteries charged up. You know, you want to be out there opening day and it won't start. So there's things that we have to do. But in these winter months, in this waiting time, there's probably things we need to be working on. And so if we're using our time wisely, studying to show ourselves approved, praying for people, visiting people, writing letters, making phone calls, you know, this is the preparatory time. And when it comes to getting the bus going again and Sunday school going, we're only a couple weeks away. Maybe 3 weeks? I don't know. We haven't picked the exact date, but the goal is March. So now is that time. We're almost out of the waiting time, and we're ready into the work time. And so in these winter months, we need to be busy about being prepared. Well, Jesus taught many lessons in the chapter about listening and hearing. He taught about sowing in the seed, and then He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He taught about not hiding the word under the bushel, and then He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And then He said, take heed what you hear. And then He taught two lessons on the kingdom, and that the Lord deserves to reap the harvest, and that we have responsibilities in the harvest. Now, as we get to the next section in Mark 4, He's got the practical. He's got a life lesson that He wants them to respond properly to. And if they've been listening to the right voice, they're prepared. I'm convinced that God never takes us through a stage of life that we're not ready for. Now, we can't do it on our own, of course. We still have to rely on Him completely. But I'm sure you can agree with me that sometimes you find yourself going, oh, I'm totally unprepared for this. I don't know. I think if we're walking with the Lord, He doesn't take us to a point that we're not ready for. I remember as a kid, I would work with my dad. He did a number of different things. But one of the things he did was central heat and air. And I would go out in the evenings and work with him. And he would give me a task to do, and he would walk away and go do something else. As soon as he walked away, I'm thinking, I've never done this before. How am I supposed to do this? And then I would just start working on it. And inevitably, he would give me things he knew I could do. I didn't think I could do them, but he knew what I could do. Now, sometimes he had still to come back and give some assistance and help, but I really treasure the things that he did for me and the times he gave me tasks to do when I felt I absolutely was unprepared to do. But because he trusted me to do it, I grew, and I was stretched, and I was able to do things that I never thought I could do. And that's helped me throughout my whole life. I often joke in the workplace, coming up through the Navy, it wasn't until like year 20, after 20 years, I finally went to a job that was actually similar to a job I'd done before. That I walked in going, you know, I think I know how to do this job. Now, there were still new things to do, but all through those 20 years, every time I'd go to a new job, it was like, quick, learn something brand new. But that was just kind of the way they stretch you and through to get you through life. Okay, I digress. Let's get to this part of the story. We'll pick it up in verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You're not supposed to have your ship full of water. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'll tell you, he's the creator. He made the wind and the waves. Of course they're going to obey him. They had no choice. He was the creator. All creation must obey the master. They must obey the creator. Jesus had full authority and jurisdiction to command the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him. How much more should human beings, as thinking, rational people, who we think we're like way up here in the universe, why would we not respond the same way? I mean, why would we not? It's only reasonable that we would obey him just as the wind and the waves did. I think that's a very significant takeaway from this. So Jesus wraps up this chapter with a significant example of learning to hear. He had taught them to listen, and now he's going to speak and expects them to hear. So the little sermonette, if you will, the little sermon in the midst of this, though, is this precious passage on peace. When God says, peace be still, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to think? What are we supposed to believe? I think, in brief, we're not going to go too deep into this, but one, when God says, peace be still, then we should stop fretting. We should stop doubting. We should stop believing the lies of the devil, who always says you can't. I mean, the devil's a can't. But God's like, When you got the power of God, you can go through the Red Sea. You can get out of Egypt when it's impossible. You can get water from a rock. You can turn bitter water into sweet water. Stop looking at the waves and the wind. You know, we have the other story of Peter walking, and he looks at the wind, and he falls. You know, it's just stop looking there. Look at the Savior. So we start looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He asks them, how is it that you have no faith? I think they forgot that Jesus was the author of faith. They were still learning. So let's look at the author and finisher of our faith. Start believing that God can and will do what he's promised to do. He is able. He does love his children. He does give good gifts. He tailors problems in our lives to help us to grow. He sends the rain. It would be very easy to say, it is so muddy out there. Sure, we should stop raining. Well, it happens to be the end of February. Come July, we go, praise God it rained this winter. Because we're not on a drought. You know, we have a shallow well. I kind of like it to rain in the wintertime. You know, keep that underground water going and keep that water supply going. That's a good thing. But it's too easy to forget in the moment that God sends rain for a purpose. He sends what we think are problems. We really ought to call them. See, if we learn to speak truth, I think we would start seeing life differently. And, you know, and again, in my work, in many places, there are times where trying to have that good attitude, trying to look beyond what everybody's complaining and whining about, and go, it's an opportunity to excel. You know, it's easy to look at it and go, oh, this is terrible. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe they said, you know, those bosses. I can't believe they made us do this. It's an opportunity to excel. And when you look at life from God's perspective, they're all opportunities. Okay. So if God gives direction, well, let me back up. So he tailors a problem. So we should fear not. That's another message here, fear not. When God says, peace, be still, there is no room for fear. He rebuked them. Why are ye so fearful? Remember, they had the Son of God in the boat with them. They should not have feared. So believe truth. So do what we're supposed to do. Be doers of the word. So if God gives direction, then Satan obviously wants to step in and stop us. I mean, if God's moving us to do something, Satan will absolutely do whatever he can to stop us, right? So he's a liar and a murderer. Never forget that. Jesus called him a liar. Jesus called him a murderer. That's who he is. There is nothing good about Satan. So don't ever give him credit. Don't give him a foothold. Don't allow him to rule our lives. And may I say, and I'm speaking to myself, if I'm complaining, that is not from God. It really is that simple. When I'm so discouraged that I'm thinking it's impossible and there's no way out, those thoughts are not from the Lord. Those are from the liar. So when we learn to rebuke him and say, no, Jesus said, fear not, I am with you. And I choose to believe it. And then you can march forward. And it doesn't matter what comes because Jesus is there and he's told us to go, so you just go. Use the word. Oh, with respect to, we do have this enemy, okay? You cannot forget that we have an enemy. He wants to stop us at every point. It is a battle. There are some things in life that are worth fighting. And when it comes to fighting the spiritual battle, we have to have a fighter's mindset. We have to be willing to fight. Yes, there's a lot of room for peace. And we're supposed to dwell with each other in love and harmony. We're supposed to get along with one another, especially in the body of Christ. But when it comes to the devil, there's no room for getting along. We have to fight. But we have to fight spiritually, the same way Jesus did with his word. Oh, this word that we're supposed to be listening to, this word that we're supposed to be sowing. When it's in our hearts, then now we know. Because as soon as Satan says, oh, I mean, I'll use an example that's probably real to many of us. You can't talk to that person. You can't do that. You're right. I can't. So you just leave. Or you say, Satan, you are absolutely right. But the Lord can, and I belong to him. It's his mouth. It's his word anyway. So we're going. Got the track. We're going anyway. We just have to call it what it is. So we use the word of God to conquer Satan so that he's not in the way. It's bad enough that our flesh is in the way. But then we have this enemy out there that's in the way too. So we have to overcome them both. So we use the word just as Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness and he turned to the word and Satan had to turn tail and run because Jesus just quoted the word back to him. All right. I do want to just tell you this one brief life story. I don't have a lot of life stories I share, but this one was one that just really stands out to me in life where Jesus said, peace be still. And it worked. And believe me, this is not credit for myself. It's only because of what God did at that time that peace be still. I said, okay, Lord. And it was. And it was truly peaceful. When James was being born, we were expecting him, he decided to come early, 10 weeks early. Now, we had not had a 10-week early baby before, and, you know, preemies are challenging. They don't always survive. And so tensions rise really fast. you know, and you start having labor and you're 10 weeks early. So that got rather sticky. And so Dana ended up in the hospital for a couple days and giving mag sulfate and stuff like that, trying to stop the labor, trying to hold her off. But of course, once Dana goes into labor, you don't stop her. So we're pressing on. But the tension was rising. Number one, mag sulfate just does terrible things to you, you know, and it was very, very hard on her. And I was still trying to job, and the kids were, you know, we still had 4 kids at that time, so we were trying to care for them. We had guests in our home at the time. Life was very stressful. I was very stressed. And so I'd just been down there visiting at the hospital, and I'd gotten back home, and she calls me. It was just one of those very obvious things. I need to go back. I was trying to go to bed. I needed sleep really bad. And so, but I just said, okay, Lord. So we got back in the vehicle and started driving down there. But as I was driving, God just brought things to my mind. He brought a little chorus that we'd been singing, teaching the kids, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. When you start singing that, the Holy Spirit just takes control. And it was just like total peace. It's like just out there on that lake, God said, peace be still, and it was all okay. It was just okay. So it was truly that peace that passes all understanding, because nothing else changed. She was still in the hospital, still in premature labor, and I was still not having any more sleep than I had, and yet He said, peace be still, and it really worked. Well, not only was God in control, He did take control, and He solved the whole situation. In short, He not only took care of the birth, which did happen that night or the next night. Anyway, very shortly, He did take care of the birth. James is here to show for it. He was in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, for 5 weeks. And even went through an infection. So you go, oh boy, you know, a little baby like that gets infection in the NICU and you don't know what's going to happen. And so God just kind of took us through the ups and downs. He brought the other believers along to help us. There's this lady who came and just sat with him, you know, for hours on end, and just kind of a surrogate grandmother, if you will. Transportation, we needed 2 vehicles and we only owned 1 at the time. Somebody loaned us a truck, and so we had vehicles. People served, our faith grew. He showed us that He can calm the storm. God clearly knew how to calm a storm and got us through that. So that just made us stronger. Now, what we didn't know at the time is about 18 months later, there was going to be another storm. Is that time right? All right, there was another storm coming, and it was going to be a bigger, badder, stronger, far more difficult storm, and our ship was going to be further from the shore, literally. See, this, the first one, we were in Norfolk. The hospital was there in Norfolk. Everything happened in Norfolk. The next one, we were stationed in Florida, and we were visiting Arkansas for the Christmas. Dana went in premature labor, and, oh, I'm supposed to go down there and finish school, and here we are relocated. He's off in the NICU for 10 weeks. Long story short, God took us through that storm too. But having gone through the first storm made us stronger for the second storm. And then that just made us stronger for the next storms and the next storms. And storms are going to keep coming. Weather patterns don't change like that. You know, storms will continue to come. And they come, sometimes it's an ice storm. Sometimes it's a snowstorm. Sometimes it's a rainstorm. Sometimes it's just a windstorm. The storms are going to keep coming. So we just got to grow from one so it would be stronger for the next one. In short, God was more than able to calm storms. So let me just try to summarize here. Jesus began the chapter with a sower and the seed. He taught about hearing. He continues all the way through the chapter, teaching us to listen, teaches us to use the word properly. In this last section, He gave them a practical. They failed the test. Don't you hate failing a test? But we do. You know, whether it's in school or whether it's in life, they failed the test, and He rebuked them for it. Now, we have the rest of the story. It goes on. And so they have more opportunities. So Jesus, number one, He clearly showed the world that He was the Son of God. Did He not? I mean, He had worked, He had supernatural power to heal, to forgive sins, to cast out devils. He showed the world that He was even the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus was very God. Now that's what He had already showed them up to this point. And I know in the flesh, that would be a very fearful situation. Your boat is full of water. You know what happens when boats are full of water. They don't keep floating. Not long. And now Jesus is sleeping. But they were with the Son of God, the creator of the world and all that's in it. I don't know what they were thinking. Did they? You don't think rationally in moments like that. You know, the storm's blowing and you don't think rationally. They obviously did not think, this is the man who cast out devils. Here's the man who heals the sick. Here's the man who saves the Lord of the Sabbath. Here's the man who's claimed to be the very Son of God. But he's asleep. He's not here to help me. Or so they thought. Well, I don't know whether they thought he would die and they would die with him or whatever they thought. They definitely were fearful. I'm not throwing stones at them. I'm sure I would have been in the exact same place they were. You know, it was a terrible spot. But Jesus was just preparing them. To top it off, the final question that they asked essentially showed that they really, truly missed it. Because they asked a question that they should have known the answer to. If they had been listening, if in their spiritual hearts they had been paying attention through all the things that he had been teaching them, they should have known the answer. But the very people that he had, and I don't know how long this had been now, they'd been with him for quite a while. But then they say, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. What manner of man is this? They should have been able to answer the question. When we hit a storm of life, and it's a crisis, it's a real crisis from the world's perspective, from our mind's perspective, it is a true crisis. We don't know the solution. We don't know how we're going to get out of it. And then we say things like, where are you, Lord? Why would we ask such a question? I mean, I know we get weak in the flesh, but why would we ask such a question? We should know the answer to that question. I mean, why don't we immediately say, Lord, I'm in deep. I can't do it without you. You promised. And we start quoting the scriptures back to the Lord. I think the Lord loves for us to speak back to him his very own words. You know, why can't we just say, Lord, you promised you would never leave me nor forsake you. Lord, you know how weak and feeble I am. I can't see you at the moment, but I know you're here. I'm choosing to trust you. What's wrong with that? Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, we know he continued on and had some challenges in that situation. But at that point, he said exactly the right thing. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Are we so committed to the Lord that we're willing to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? It's like, it doesn't matter, Lord, what you're doing, what you're trying to teach me. I'm yours, and I'm ready to go through it because I know you've promised and you're not going to fail me. If we could rewrite it and make the disciples look like men of God, we would have said, in the midst of the storm, they're going, guys, don't worry. Jesus is the Son of God. I know he's sleeping. I think we're fine, guys. Just hang on. We're going to make it through. But they were men. You know, they were but flesh, as we are. But we see their story, and we see the next story, and the next story, and the next story. We see the cross. We see the grave. We see him. He's ascended, sitting on the right hand of the Father, giving us the Holy Spirit of God. We have no reason to fear. Peace be still. What manner of man is this? He's a man that says, peace be still and fear not. Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself. Thank you for these stories, this history, these revelations of who you are, what you are, what you can do. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for teaching us tonight. Oh, may our hearts listen and hear. Oh, may you just help us as we go through life storms to choose to trust you in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.